Welcome. Are you zealously desiring to live in the power of the gospel, all that God's grace has provided for you through Jesus Christ's work on the cross, the forgiveness of all your sins, the healing of all your diseases, the redemption of your life from destruction, and every other form of salvation for everything you'll ever need in this life? If so, I'm really glad that you can join us for our Psalm 103 series entitled Living in the Power of the Gospel. This is our second session, session two, entitled Living in the Power of God's Love. And it's the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired King David to sing about God's everlasting, faithful love throughout Psalm 103. And he desires for you to know and to believe the love of God and to abide eternally in the reality of God's love for you. Why would he want that? So that you can live in the power of his love, so that your life can be transformed into the living image of Jesus Christ, who is the representation of God, who is love. Tonight, we're going to take a look at God's chesed love in Psalm 103. We will begin by looking at four different divisions in Psalm 103. We'll begin, our first division is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2, which is basically an exhortation of King David, where he is exhorting his own soul to bless the Lord. Now, many of you know this, but King David is known as a man after God's own heart, and he was zealous to experience all that God's grace had provided for him in his lifetime. And he knew he wanted to experience this because he knew of how much God loved him, and he wanted all that the grace provided that was available to him through God's love. Therefore, as he's standing in the midst of this assembly worship time, he begins by singing over his own soul, awakening it to the reality of who God is and what God has done. So let us all declare Psalm 103, verses 1 through 2 together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. We're going to take a look now at some of the key words in this first division, okay? We're going to look at the word soul, bless, and the Lord. Let's first take a look at the word soul. We don't know exactly when King David wrote and sung this song, but every one of us can relate to moments of days or weeks or months where our soul, that's our mind, our will, and our emotions, is blinded to God's presence and his power. Before you became a born-again believer, your soul was used to ruling over your life with all of its discouragements, its fears, its doubts, its sorrows, its pains, sparked by your own darkened sin nature and heightened by other negative influences in the fallen world around you. Now, I have this red vase with a candle in it, and this represents your life, your spirit man on the inside of you once you invited Jesus Christ into your heart. So after you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, your spirit man, which is the real you, went through a radical rebirth, becoming the dwelling place for the Spirit of the living God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are now living inside of you. Yes, God is dwelling on the inside of you, but your five natural senses often aren't aware of this living reality that is within you because they're used to ruling over your life. Now, these red glasses that I have here, they represent the new lens in which you're to view your life. They are to remind you of what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you through the work of the cross. Daily, your mind needs to be renewed to the reality of the new you, so that you can walk in the reality of who you are in Christ and walk by the leadership of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who is living inside of you, so that your flesh, your unredeemed soul, will not rule over you, over who you are in Christ, and over the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Your reborn spirit has become one spirit with God, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17. Your spirit man is to have dominion over your soul. Your spirit is to be dominant in your decision making and in your thought processes. But in reality, does this always happen? No. Because before you were born again, it was like you were living in the land of Egypt. Your soul was dominant in your decision making. And so even though you have left the land of Egypt, like the Israelites, it's hard for you to get Egypt out of your mind. So you allow it at times to rule over you rather than the Spirit of the living God. The one, the same power that raised Jesus Christ is living within you so that you can be empowered to rule over all the darkened, evil stuff that used to rule over you. But you have to tap into the power of God, into the power of the gospel, into the power of God's love for you. So in Psalm 103, 1 through 2, King David is voicing this as he's living under the old covenant. How much more for us who have the Spirit of God within us, right? Now, I wanted to share with you a story that it might be hard for you to wrap your minds around. It happened to me as a born-again believer. I was really sick at that time. It's over, about year 2000. And I'm walking into this church. Now, at that point in time, I was sick. I had a lot of darkened thoughts bombarding me. And I believe that all those thoughts were originating from Sue, who Sue was. And that night before, I had a dream that where I told you guys about before, that I saw Jehoshaphat written on a blackboard, and he went out and sent the worshipers on the front line of the battle, and they won the battle by worshiping God. Well, they had just started worship in church here and during the middle of the day. And so there's all these ladies up on stage, and I'm not one that gets up on stage and sings, but I was determined I was going to do this. I was going to worship God. So I came and I sang really softly on the mic. And afterwards, one of the ladies shared with me this story. And she shared something that it was hard for me to wrap my mind around, but I got really excited afterwards because I thought that the battle I was in with my sickness was just in the physical realm. And I thought all these thoughts that I was thinking was just Sue. But she said to me, she had a vision, an open vision, like you're seeing a movie being played out in front of you. So as I walked into the church, she's seeing thousands of demons surrounding me, yakking into my ears. And guess what? She would even tell me a lot of the things that the demons were saying that I actually heard inside of Sue. Do you understand this? If you understand, the only reason I'm sharing this story is because I believe there's some of you that are needing to be empowered with the reality of the spiritual realm and how the demonic realm can actually speak thoughts into your mind that you own. Now, if you start to verbalize them over and over and over again, yes, they become your own. But that's how, when you speak them out of your mouth, that the enemy has authority over you. So when King David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name," we don't know what's going on in his life, do we? but he's trying to get his soul under the dominion of the lordship of Jesus Christ. And each one of us need to do that. We need to come in agreement with who God is and not in agreement with the demonic realm that wants to control us. Okay? So let's go on to the word bless in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. The second word we take a look at is bless. It comes from the Hebrew word barak, which can be translated to pronounce blessings, to give praise, to give thanks. So when you think of the word bless, think of two other words, praise, thanks. We're to give God blessing, we're to give him praise, we're to give him thanks. Now this word praise, we all kind of have heard more than we've heard this word bless, right? So, when Psalm 103, when it was translated Barak, in the New King James, it says, bless the Lord. Many of the other translations don't translate it like that. They translate it, praise the Lord and all that is within me. Praise the Lord. But something that transformed my life, and I didn't realize that that was one of the definitions of Barak, is in Psalm 103, when I was reading it, and everything was as crystal clear as it could be of what Jesus did for us on the cross, I wrote these words. I don't know if I heard them or where I got them, but they're in my Bible. And I wrote, it means to thankfully come in agreement with God's word. You and I are to thankfully come in agreement with what Psalm 103 is declaring of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. We're thankfully to come in agreement with all of God's word for us, and then we're to resist the demonic thoughts that are trying to rage war over our soul and take dominion over our lives. Amen? Okay. The third word I want to cover is the word Lord. It actually occurs 11 times in Psalm 103. And in Hebrew, it's Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. I'm not going to go into the fullness of its meaning right now, but I want to tell you that in the New Testament, it's mentioned 100 times, this word Lord. Jesus is called Lord. So now when you read Psalm 103, you can actually read Jesus' name throughout Psalm 103. I just love that. You and I need to be passionate about blessing the Lord. What does that mean? Thankfully coming in agreement with him, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord of our salvation, our all-inclusive salvation that we discussed last week. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what? You will be saved. So what does it mean to call Jesus Lord? This is really, really good. Just think it means when you say Jesus is Lord, it means I'm allowing him to have dominion or rulership over me. Now, when it comes to some bad habits that we all seem to have in one way or the other, we need to have those things come under the rulership or the dominion, the lordship of God himself. And we can do that because we have the power of God living in us, so we can say, Lord, I believe what you're telling me. Help me. I want to obey what you're telling me. Help me. He will strengthen you. He will help you. But we need to call upon his name so that the Lord of our salvation can come and help us in whatever need we have. The second division of Psalm 103 that we're going to look at now is verses 3 to 5, and we covered that a little bit last week. Psalm 103 is the apex of the Lord's hesed, his loving kindness for the individual, and it's shown through the cross. I mentioned this earlier, but when I read Psalm 103, and I came across where it says, who forgives your sins? Who heals all your diseases? It was like, some people were telling me when I would go to the altar, sometimes God would heal me and sometimes he doesn't heal people. And I'm reading and I'm going, some of these things I was reading was too good to be true, but this was so clear, so crystal clear. Who heals all your diseases? I was in need of healing. And I'm going, this is who my Lord is. Who redeems your life from the pit of destruction? Or if you're in a pit and you feel like any area of your life is being destroyed, it says, he, the Lord, is the one who will redeem your life from destruction. So after David commands his soul to bless the Lord, he shifts his focus from telling himself what it needs to get in alignment with who God is. He shifts his focus to the everlasting, faithful love of God, which in Hebrew is the word hesed. Verses 3-5, the Lord's hesed is revealed to the individual. In verses 6-19, the Lord's hesed, his faithful love, is shown towards the Israelites as a nation. And then in verses 20-22, all of God's creation is shown the hesed love of God, and they're beckoned to then bless the Lord along with King David. As King David takes command over his own soul and begins to bless the Lord, we are given divine insight of what to do when soul issues begin to blind our view of God's love for us. King David, he united his heart with God's heart in verses 3-5 in what I believe to be the song of all songs, the song of the Lamb. This is what Jesus, the Lamb of God, did for you and I in verses 3-5 through the work of the cross. And it is to be the pinnacle, the high point of all of our praise to God. Because without Christ, there would be no salvation. Now remember, King David is speaking to his own soul as he declares six core realities about the grace of God. These realities make up what we now understand to be, and we talked about last week, as the gospel of the grace of God, which is the core message of the cross, which is, according to Romans 1:16-17, the power of God for your salvation. Because King David is speaking to his own soul, he uses the personal pronouns you and your. So when you start declaring this over your own life, you will want to address yourself likewise. As you get these core gospel benefits into your conversation with God, you will actually begin to tap in to the power of God and the power of his love for your life, for your salvation. And you'll be able to live in the reality of God's love for you more and more and more. So it's not just every once in a while, but it becomes a habit. Just like driving a car where you, at first, you know, I had a stick shift car, you know, and I was so afraid to go up hills in San Francisco and you know, different cities that had these, you know, just real steep hills with this stick shift car because I was afraid of rolling backwards. But after you start actually practicing something over and over and you start saying these six core benefits of the cross over and over in your heart, it just becomes automatic. You begin to live in God's love for you. So in a moment, we're going to actually declare these six core benefits by reading out loud each one of these according to that sentence where I kind of personalized it for you. Okay? So let's begin. And we're going to begin with the forgiveness. And we're just going to insert forgiveness in there and then the line after forgiveness. So why don't you all stand up, get the blood circulating in your body, and we're going to declare these. And say them with passion, you know? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of his forgiveness. As Jesus has forgiven you of all your iniquities, past, present, and future. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of his healing. Jesus has healed you of all your diseases. Remember, you're talking to yourself. That's why you're saying you. It's like you're looking yourself in the mirror and you're going, yeah, it's you. Okay, redemption. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of redemption. As Jesus has redeemed your life from destruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of the crown. Jesus has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of his satisfaction. Jesus has satisfied your mouth with good things. And some versions actually say life instead of mouth, so you can put that in there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget this benefit of his renewal. Jesus has renewed your youth like the eagles. Sit down. Now, if your soul is warring, wait a minute, that's not how it's like in my life, then your spirit man is going to need to speak some things to your soul so it starts ruling and reigning over your mind, your will, and your emotions. Romans 12, 1 through 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to what your soul is telling you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the word of God. How often are you to proclaim the good news of his salvation for you? Psalm 96, 3 says this, proclaim the good news of his salvation one time a year. No! From day to day to day. Don't forget his benefits daily. Do that this week. The third division of Psalm 103 is verses 6 through 19. This is the Lord's hesed, his loving kindness for the community. You can see that this section is very short because I start really talking about it more in Roman numeral 2 on your handout. We'll get to that in a minute. But King David, he spills over from addressing his own soul to bless the Lord to addressing the entire congregation, highlighting aspects of God's grace that they had all witnessed throughout their history. You can see this transition from his change of personal pronouns. He changed from speaking to his own soul, you, your, me, my, to the pronouns of our, us, we, and them. In this section, he recounts who God is and what God has done in the redemptive history of Israel. The fourth division, or final division, of Psalm 103 is verses 20 through 22. This is the universal exhortation to respond to God's hesed, to his faithful love. David's soul, it may have been faltering in response to God at the beginning of this psalm, but as he recalled all the benefits of God's grace in his own personal life and in the history of Israel, their redemptive history, what happens? David's soul begins to soar at such heights that he starts to beckon all of God's creation. Join me in blessing the Lord. He preaches to God's angels, all the host of heaven, all the works of God's hand, to join him in this ever-increasing crescendo of praise. Wow, he must have been full. Have you ever done that? we could get to that point, filling ourselves with God so fully that we're calling everything around us to bless the Lord. You laugh because it seems, this picture seems like so ridiculous. But it's so ridiculously great and awesome, and the Lord's probably looking, going, that's my son. That's my son. He is after my heart. Amen? When David ends this psalm, he speaks again to his own soul. Don't forget now. He doesn't say that, but he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He ends the psalm the same way he began. He is once again telling his soul, from this day to the next day to the next day, you will worship God in a worthy fashion because his love is faithful. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. His love is abounding. His love knows no end. It's limitless. And his love is for me and it's for you. Okay, Roman numeral 2. What is hesed? Hesed, we're going to talk about this word hesed, God's everlasting love. As you can see by Psalm 103, God's love had so impacted David that it really became the theme song for his life, as well as the overarching theme of Psalm 103. And it silenced any negative soul melodies that were trying to sing a song over his own life. Yes, David had soul issues, as we clearly see in the psalms that he sung. Repeatedly, his soul wanted to play first string in his life, just like they do for you and I. But David hushed them with songs like Psalm 103 and words about who God is and what God has done. As King David did this over and over and over again in his life, singing about God's limitless love, guess what happened to his fears and his doubts, his anxieties, his pains, his sorrows, and his discouragements? They disappeared, right? And his enemies were subdued by the Lord of his salvation. As a Christian who zealously desires to live in the power of the gospel, all that God has made available for you through the finished work of the cross, it is imperative that you stay connected to God's hesed, the power of God's love, internalizing his love deep within your own heart. What does this mean? It means that you don't allow anything to stand in your way of abiding in a continual flow of God's love for you, as discussed in this psalm and discussed throughout the Bible. For it's through the power of God's love that you will conquer all things. The Apostle Paul was fully persuaded that nothing would separate him from God's love. And we know that Paul, just like King David, he went through a lot of opposition and difficulties. So, if they could do it, how about you? How about me? Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who or what shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or weakness or nakedness or peril or sword? What's standing in your way of you receiving God's love in any area of your life today? God says to you, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. I am persuaded that, then he goes on to this long list, so I'm going to sum up this list as, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The entirety of Psalm 103 reflects the greatness of God's steadfast love. As King David calls himself to bless the Lord and begins to sing about all that God his love has done for him and for the Israelite, his soul unites to the truth of God's love. And you can feel and see and hear his heartfelt praise. There's no hypocrisy in his heart in Psalm 103. He has united his heart fully with God's heart. And God says, yes, David, you're a man after my heart. And that should be what we want God to say about our heart. You, yes, you are after God's heart. You're a man, you're a woman after God's own heart. That's why you are here. God's love is the foundation for all of our praises to God. Without an understanding of the Hebrew word hesed, God's faithful covenant love, which always demands an expression, you cannot fully understand Psalm 103, nor can you understand the gospel of Christ, nor can you understand God himself. King David uses the word hesed four times in the psalm and expounds upon it throughout the psalm to describe who God is and how God relates to him as an individual, to the nation of Israel, and to all of God's creation. You see this in verses 4, 8, 11, and 17, and they're listed there on your handout. Because there is not one English word that comes close to describing hesed, is often translated in many different ways. Loving kindness, mercy, grace, gracious love, faithful love, unfailing love, steadfast love, loyal love, and rich love. The essence of hesed is God's faithful love in action. God's faithfulness to his covenant, to his people, and to his promises is seen throughout Scripture. But it's epitomized through the offering of Jesus Christ, his only Son, for the salvation of you and I, for mankind. On the cross, we are able to see that hesed is not just a word. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ. It is God himself. Roman numeral 3, crowned with hesed. Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. So he takes you from the pit, and then he crowns you with his loving kindness and tender mercies. That's past tense. He's already done that for your justification. But it's an ongoing present tense for your sanctification. Wherever you need redemption from the pit, he's there to lift you out of the pit and to show his loving kindness and his tender mercies. The crowning thoughts that you should always have is, I know his love will not fail me in this circumstance. I'm crowned with his loving kindness and tender mercies. The devil, he would say that the crowning word of your life is your mistakes and sins and mistreatment of others. But don't buy into those lies. Rather, get your heart connected to the power of the gospel, the power of God's love for you. Let's all declare this together. The crowning word over my life is his loving kindness and tender mercies. Every thought I think and word I speak will come in agreement with God's hesed, his steadfast love for me. Do you know that this is the helmet of your salvation? His crowning words for your life, his loving kindness and tender mercies. And it was given to you because it was bought with Jesus' precious blood, and it can never be taken away from you. Believing and knowing that he has crowned you with his hesed allows you to rule and reign with great confidence as a king and a priest to God forever and ever. Revelations 1:6. Surround is another word for crown. As Jesus' beloved bride, as a child of God, you are surrounded by his love. He has placed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. A verse that kind of complements verse 4 of Psalm 103 is Colossians 1:13 through 14. He delivered you from the pit, the power of darkness, and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Roman numeral 4, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy, abounding in hesed. Now you see there, they use mercy in the New King James Version for hesed. Now, King David, he's actually quoting from Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And it says, and the Lord passed before Moses, and he proclaimed his own name before Moses and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness, hesed, and truth. You know, when this Lord proclaimed himself like this, it's just like amazing, because the Israelites had just went ahead and made and worshiped the golden calf. And Moses, in Exodus 33:13, he actually says something very similar as verse 7 in Psalm 103. Moses said, show me now your ways, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 7. King David said, he made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So in verse 8, when King David is declaring who God is, that he is the one who is hesed, abounding in hesed, we know that he's thinking, because verse 7 talks about this incident where they had just worshiped the golden calf. So we have to ask ourselves, what was God's way? What was God's response when the Israelites sinned against God and failed miserably after all of God's miraculous signs and wonders performed on their behalf to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt? What was God's response when the Israelites blatantly sinned against God's commandment that they had just promised to uphold? He did get angry, but his anger did not last. Instead of punishing the Israelites according to their sin, God demonstrates his hesed, his covenant love towards them, and he declares his name to them. Now, Psalm 103, verse 10, you kind of have to see this in context. It actually says this, and this is how God deals with you. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He did not obliterate the Israelites from planet earth. This is what he says to Moses. This is who I am. This is my way of dealing with my beloved children, the Israelites. This is my way of dealing with you and I. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. God chose to forgive the Israelites. And God chooses over and over and over and over again to forgive you and I. God's name, hesed, love, it has not changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament to today. God's name is always the same. And what is it? It's faithful love in action, hesed. The core reality of who God is what? Hesed. And it's perfectly demonstrated in Jesus' life and what he endured through the cross, so that you and I could come into a living knowledge of God's love for us. John 3:16, you know it well. What is it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Apostle John alludes to the Hebrew words hesed and emet in Exodus 34:6, as I showed you there on your handout. Okay, so when there's a Bible called the Greek Septuagint Bible, and it takes the Hebrew and translates it all into Greek. And so we see Exodus 34:6 showing up in John 1:14. And the Word, that's Jesus, he became flesh, right? And then it says he's full of what? Grace, hesed, and truth, emet. So this theme is from the old to the new today. He's still full of grace and truth, showing grace upon grace. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of hesed. He's full of hesed. He's full of grace. He's abounding in grace. I want to share a testimony with you. I know we're running a little late, but it's about a man that I had met 4 years after we started the healing rooms in 2006. I met him at the International House of Prayer. And he was a young man in his 20s. And he was basically diagnosed that he was going to die if this cancer was not seen to in his body. He had a growth. It was a testicular cancer, and it grew from 0.9 centimeters to 4.9 centimeters in 7 days. They had surgically removed it, but it had already spread to his lungs and to his lymph nodes and throughout his body. So he decided to make the decision to go to Kansas City to their prayer house and to fast and pray and to ask God to heal him. When he went to the house of prayer, somebody says, "Do you just want to be healed, or do you want to know the healer?" And he thought, "I want to know the healer." So as he started to read the Bible, he came across this God of love, this God of compassion. And he says, "I want to know you like that." And so after the week of fasting and prayer, he went back to the doctor, and they wanted to put the port in his chest to begin the chemotherapy. And he said, "I need to have you take the, you know, whatever it is to show that it's still there." I says, "Why did you ask to do that?" And he says, "Because I had looked into the eyes of the God who loves me." He said the pain in his body had not changed, but it had worsened. But he had looked into the eyes of God who loved him. So they went ahead and redid the test, and they found no cancer in his body. The symptoms were there, but no cancer in his body. What had happened? The Lord had crowned him with loving kindness and compassion. He was taken from the pit of destruction and raised up to the kingdom of God's love so that he could experience the love of God. And that is what God has for each one of us. He wants us to live in the reality of his love. And I challenge you this week to look into the eyes of God's love and to know and believe and abide in his love for you. Psalm 103, 11 through 12, Roman numeral 5. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is his mercy, his chesed, his love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God's chesed, his love, is unfathomable. It fills all the possible space from heaven to earth, from east to west. It will always surpass your ways and your thoughts. God's ways and thoughts emanate from chesed, from the core reality of who he is. So when God says in Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways," he's talking about you will never, ever, ever, ever understand the fullness of my chesed. For all eternity, we are going to be discovering different realms of God's chesed for us. Roman numeral 6, Psalm 103, 17. "But the mercy, chesed, of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him." God's love will never end. There's a song called "One Thing Remains" by the Jesus Culture, and this echoes the truth of chesed, of Psalm 103, in modern day language. And it personalizes it, and it says, "Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me." Amen? Thanks for joining us tonight. And next week, Tuesday, we're going to talk about the power of God's forgiveness. I hope to see you. Invite a friend.